May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Waiting is hard. I can't recall how many times when I was growing up that I was consumed with what was going to be underneath the Christmas tree. But I can remember when I got my first electric guitar. I accidentally saw it as it was covered up by a towel in my mother's bedroom. But I was taken aback when on Christmas morning itself, I wasn't as elated as I had been in times past, probably because I had spoiled the surprise. I wonder if the surprise would have been greater if I had exerted some effort, some strength to wait without already knowing what was to come. Advent is a season of waiting. We remember how the prophets of Israel first waited for the Messiah, and we also think of how today we await our Messiah's return. And it takes strength to wait. Luckily, St. Paul's opening salutation in his first letter to the church at Corinth is packed full of good stuff, stuff that can help us wait with strength. Now, one of the attitudes that helps us wait for our coming King is gratitude. The Apostle Paul is overjoyed thinking about how the Corinthians have experienced God's grace. Likewise, Jesus' act of grace should be the foundation of our gratitude. Grace is God's self-giving undeserved love expressed in tangible ways, and we see that grace at work preeminently in the work of Jesus Christ. With the Father and the Spirit, He was active in creation. The Son of God also drew near us when He was born, the Son of Mary, and He proved Himself worthy as our Savior, leading the sinless life that we never could lead on our own, healing, teaching, feeding, and freeing the outcasts of both Jewish and Roman society, dying on the cross to pay the price for our sins, and then rising up in victory over the devastation and death that sin invariably leaves in its wake. Then Christ sent His own Spirit to live in us and grant us His power, His strength, His victory, His reward over sin and death until He returns and completes what He began in us. That free gift of grace is without comparison. No one can outlove Jesus because His love is truly free. That, my friends, is some amazing grace, and for that, we should be truly thankful. Grace also enriches us in what we know and say about Christ. Paul's pretty stoked about the testimony of Christ's grace in the lives of the Corinthians, both in their knowledge and in their speech. And every testimony requires that we both know what it is and have the means to express that same grace. Now, I'm thankful for the apocryphal attribution to St. Francis. Preach the gospel, if necessary, use words. It gives people who aren't very eloquent the freedom to be genuine in their witness by their deeds. But let's be frank, that's really not the Episcopal Church's problem right now. As a whole, we do pretty well in terms of social justice. What's more, when Episcopalians meet other people, they're so gracious that they would rather nod and smile when an agnostic expresses her doubts about God, rather than engage in even the friendliest words with her, suggesting the veracity of the gospel. But we need to express our faith in words. And it helps to be aware of what Jesus is doing in our own lives as a starting point. We don't have to have all the answers. We don't need to know every nook and cranny of the Bible. We don't even need to have the creeds memorized. But you should know why you follow Jesus, and then have a willingness to share that reason with others, verbally, with as much gusto as you might share about your favorite product or your favorite TV show. In addition, in addition to our testimony, grace enriches us with strength through spiritual gifts. Paul emphasizes that the Corinthians were not lacking any spiritual gift. They had all they needed. Now, you remember possibly that from before that spiritual gifts in the Greek can also be translated graces, emphasizing the wanton and lavish way in which our loving Lord gives us every blessing in both this life and the next. They're not earned. They're not withheld even for bad behavior, as the Corinthians knew firsthand as they split off into cliques and played favorites and took each other to court frivolously and even let scandalous sexual immorality in at least one case go completely unchecked. Yet God still blessed them with some of the more dramatic, supernatural expressions of His grace. So we too should be on the lookout for all the ways that God loves to show His love to us. And especially in Advent, when we should remember the words of St. Jerome, "Although we lack no gift, nevertheless, we await the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ." Besides, Jesus is the greatest spiritual gift of all. The spiritual gifts of this life are mere stocking stuffers compared to what we can expect when our Lord returns with power and great glory. Additionally, grace enriches us with strength to wait to the end. Now, that word "end" can be somewhat forbidding, especially if we recall that Jesus loved us to the end, meaning His willingness to go to the cross. But it can also be expectant, the end, meaning the purpose for why God has set this whole divine experiment, creation and redemption, into motion. In that case, we're only missing its completion. We're awaiting the fulfillment of what's already started. Now, that end for us individually could be potentially foreboding, facing death, carrying our cross, suffering some loss, but it need not be hopeless if we remain faithful to the end of the journey. And in every case, the kingdom purposes of the Father, who loves us enough to make us, send His Son for us, and to pour out His Spirit upon us, well, they will resolve with the arrival of Jesus at the end of history, bringing life out of death, the beauty of holiness out of the corruption of sin, and eternal abundance out of temporal and temporary devastation. You have a good future to look forward to, even if you're one of the proverbial red shirts on this away mission on planet Earth. Because in God's version of Star Trek, even the red shirts that inevitably get killed on that episode, well, in His version, they get resurrected. Finally, since we're talking about the end, grace makes us able to stand blameless before Christ when He returns. How wonderful to know that sin doesn't win. How marvelous to look forward to standing before Jesus with a clean slate, not because we're without sin, but because the case is considered closed and the penalty paid in the courtroom of heaven. I'm saddened by the drift of some churches away from the judicial language of salvation. The worry behind that is that God looks like some big meanie in the sky waiting to pounce on some unsuspecting soul at the slightest ill-conceived thought or some careless yet hurtful action. But if we believe the prayer of humble access, that God's property is always to have mercy, then we have no reason to fear. The solution to a problem is not to deny that the problem exists, but to face it. In the same way, God faced our problem of sin by His grace, facing it in a way that allowed Him to be both just and merciful, neither giving sin a pass nor throwing sinners out with the trash. So don't be duped by the lie that sin isn't the problem. On the other hand, don't be bogged down into thinking that God can't or won't forgive you. The key is honesty. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Trust that what Jesus did in His life, death, and resurrection is more than enough to set the record straight for you. As the Wesleys used to sing, He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. This Advent, you will need supernatural strength to wait. The wonderful thing is that God's grace is sufficient. It's grace that you can be thankful for. It's grace that will make you rich with a living testimony, plus every spiritual gift that you could ever need. It's grace that will give you staying power to the very end, plus wipe your slate clean for eternity. Sin has neither place nor power in the presence of Christ's grace. So tap into God's grace by faith, and you'll have plenty of strength to wait with bated breath for the coming of our Lord. Even with any peaks under the towel that we may experience by His grace, I have every confidence that none of us will feel let down when we see Christ's kingdom come in all its fullness. Let us pray. Almighty God, thank You for the reality of grace we've discovered in Your Son, Jesus Christ. As we await His return, by Your Spirit, enrich and strengthen us in our testimony to the gospel, in the gifts that You give that build up Your church, in our perseverance, and in the promise that we will stand before You with no need to feel guilt or shame. Grant this, we pray, for the sake of Your coming kingdom. Amen.